أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين After a long break, we continue with our discussion of the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha. If you remember, the first sermon started with praise and some description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we have to know Him and believe in His names and attributes. And then a brief story of how the creation started and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to bring about the universe and whatever is in there. And then a brief description of what is in the skies and the dimension in which the angels live, and some description of the angels therein. And now the Imam alayhi salam turns to the creation of human beings and how that creation started, and the creation of the first man on the earth. And then he wants to take us into purpose of this creation and the chain of the prophets coming one after another to the children of Adam to guide him back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, ثُمَّ جَمَعَ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ حَزْنِ الْأَرْضِ وَسَحْلِهَا وَعَذْبِهَا وَسَبَحْهَا تُرْبَةً سَنَّهَا بِالْمَاءِ حَتَّى خَلَصَتْ وَلَاقَهَا بِالْبَلَّةِ حَتَّى لَذَبَتْ. It is the story of creation of Adam, but in a more detailed way as it is mentioned in the Quran. Of course, in the Quran we have that Adam was created out of dust, which was made into a sort of mud, and that mud was made into a sort of clay, and out of that clay came Adam alayhi salam when Allah blew from his spirit into it. Now, this is what is mentioned in different verses of the Quran. Here it is made a bit more elaborate and more description of the event, which sheds some light and gives us more insight about this issue. Imam alayhi salam said, then, of course, after creation of all the angels, the universe, the angels, placing the angels in their positions, then he collected, subhanahu, praise be to him, glorified is he, from the soft part of the earth and the solid part of it. من حزن الأرض وسهلا. Sahl is the soft soil, and hazn is rocky type of solid, firm soil. وَأَذْبِهَا وَسَبَخَهَا. And this soil, some of it was somehow sweet, some of it was bitter and sour. أَذْبِهَا وَسَبَخَهَا. Coming from deserts with lots of salty type of material, and coming from other parts of the dust on this earth. He collected all these into a type of amalgamation of different soils. Now, what this tells us, you might, at the first instance, you might think that this is funny. Why different types of soils should be gathered, collected from different parts of the earth to be the original matter from which Adam was going to be created? However, what he wants to say here is that almost different elements which exist on the earth. Because if Adam was created from one particular type of soil, then many elements which are existing in the soil and this earth would have been missing. We know that our body is made out of many different elements which is needed for its survival. Where these different elements have come from? Especially at the beginning, when Adam was created out of dust. Of course, that dust which was the original matter from which Adam was going to be created needed all those different elements that exist in the soil, in the dust. And therefore, he mentions, alayhi salam, that from different parts of the earth, from the soft and solid soil, from the bitter and salty parts, from somehow sweet parts of the soil, he collected and gathered different types of soil, mixed them together, amalgamated, and made a type of quite prepared dust, in which was included all elements needed for the body of a human being. Of course, they evolved, we know. In our body, we have all different types of elements that exist on the earth. Also, we have many different others. We have our own magnetic field. We have our own electricity in our body. And many other things that exist around us, they exist inside our body as well. Where have they come from? They have come all from the soil, from the dust, from the elements existing on this earth. And for the Adam, Imam alayhi salam mentions that all these elements were collected together. It was made as an amalgamation of different types of soils and dust. And then that dust was made into mud. So he collected all these from the soft and solid, sour and sweet part of the earth. He collected turbatan. Turba is turab, a type of dust soil. Sannaha bilma. Then he flowed water on it. And water actually somehow purified this dust. Sannaha bilma hatta khalasat. Until it actually removed all the unnecessary parts which exist on that soil. Until this soil became completely purified. Hatta khalasat. وَلَافَهَا بِالْبَلَّةِ حَتَّى لَذَبَكْ. Then he somehow mixed that water, that mud, with a type of water which made it a bit cohesive, like a type of cohesive mud. The mud out of which the clay is made is usually is quite sticky, if you have ever touched it. That type of mud was created. And then وَلَاتَهَا بِالْبَلَّ حَتَّى تَلَذَبَتْ فَجَبَلَ مِنْهَا سُورَةً ذَاتَ أَحْنَانِ. Then he fashioned a type of picture, a type of sculpture, so to speak, a surah out of it, which had all different limbs and parts which a body is needed. وَوُسُولًا وَأَعْضَى. And the joints and parts of the body, وَخُسُولٍ, and different sections of the body. Now, what does this mean? And really, was Adam created like this, from a type of soil being collected? Is it at all imaginable that a human being could be created like this? Let's see what Quran says about creation of Adam. I especially want to refer to one surah, one chapter of the Quran, which alludes to most parts which are mentioned in this chapter of Nahjul Balagha. Because you know that the creation of Adam is mentioned in many different places of the Quran. In Surah Hijr, when the story of Adam and Iblis is mentioned, it says that وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. We created insan, human being. Well, certainly the first human being. Okay, because other human beings, they came out of nutfah, out of reproduction. The first human being was made out of خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ. صَلْصَال is a clay, is a dry mud, which when you touch it or break it, it gives a type of sound which usually comes out of the clay. So it's quite dry type of mud, min salsal. Where this salsal had come from? This salsal came from min hama'in. Hama is a type of black mud, a mud in which there are lots of different parts coming together, making it black, which is somehow left for several months, and it has turned black. So it says that salsal was made, was the dried up form of hama, a mud. But that hama was hama'in masnoon. Now, the difficulty of understanding this is the word masnoon. What does it mean? Now, masnoon can come from sen, which is age, of course. So, hama'in masnoon means a very aged type of mud. A mud which we made it, and we left it for a long while. And also masnoon, where most mufassirun have mentioned, means something which has evolved, changed. Now, we have that usage in the Quran as well, in other parts of the Quran, for example, وَأَنْهَارٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرَ آسٍ or لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ means something which doesn't change, doesn't evolve. Now, if we say that hama'in masnoon is a mud which is evolved, then of course that mud from which Adam was created was left there to evolve, so that the elements in it could evolve in a way that could be changed into something as flesh and bone. But of course, it didn't turn into flesh and bone just by being there. It's impossible. It was something that Allah, of course, wanted to happen. However, it took long. And this would somehow confirm the riwayat, the ahadith, which said, when the clay of Adam was made, when the body of Adam was made, it was left there for 40 years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life to it. And then, of course, the angels knew that they are going to prostrate for such a thing, which they didn't know what it is. And they were somehow aware that this creation is something very special, but they didn't know what it is until Allah gave life to it, blew from His own spirit into it. Now, then it says, خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. Okay, وَالْجَانَ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُونَ. And the jinn, or the father of the jinn, like Adam, who is father of human beings, Jan is father of the jinn. We created him from the very hot smoke or hot flame of the fire, which, of course, that one evolved as well, becoming something which is quite different from that flame. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا. Then Allah told to the malaikat, to the angels, I'm creating a bashar مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونٍ. The same. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهَ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When I create it, I blow from my own spirit in it, you have to prostrate before. Now, there are two terms mentioned here. One, insan, the other, bashar. What's the difference between insan and bashar? Usually, bashar is the animal side of human being. And insan, indeed, is the divine side of human being. And this is supported by literal meaning as well, because bashar means the skin. And they say an animal whose skin could be seen is apparent, is not covered by fur or whatever, is bashar. So it's the animal without fur, so to speak. Now Allah says, I'm going to create a bashar from salsal, from hamal and masnoon. Did angels know what is the bashar? Probably yes. Maybe they were before they had seen something like that. Something like that. Something similar to that. Now this gives us three different theories about the beginning of the creation of human beings. One, of course we can have more than that, but what is plausible in my view, then of course you can have some input as well yourself later on. First is that Adam alayhi salam is the first, absolutely first human being created on the earth. And all human beings are his children. And before him there was no such a notion as human being. There were animals, there were jinn, there were angels, but no human being. So he was the first human being created on the earth. And then he was made out of clay. And إِنَّ مَثَلَ آدَمَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمَ. Adam was in the way, created in a way that خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. He created him out of dust. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ. Then he told him, be human being, and it was. فَيَكُنْ. So this is one thing. The other theory is that, well, Allah says to the angels that I am going to create a bashar out of tin, out of mud. That means probably there were bashar before him who were created in a different way, not out of mud. They were existing, they were living on the earth. They were animals. Bashar, but animals, not human beings. Not human beings as we are. But they were like us in their form. How they were created, we don't know. How they have come about, we don't know. Certainly they were not made out of mud. This time God said, I am going to create a bashar out of mud. And when I create him, you prostrate to him, and they were amazed that these bashar that we see on the earth, they are shedding blood, they are doing mischief. How we have to prostrate now to one bashar created out of mud? So this is the second thing, that there were bashar, not human beings. Maybe Homo sapiens, well, maybe. But they were bashar anyhow. Living before Adam, they were not people like humans, they were more animals than human beings. Whether they lived after creation of Adam or not, we don't know. Whether all human beings now are from the progeny of Adam or some are from the progeny of those animals. Maybe, if this theory is correct, maybe. We don't know. But apparently all human beings are the same now. They have the same religious sense, the same rational sense. So they should have been from one source rather than from different sources. So the second theory is that Adam was created out of mud, as Allah mentions and as Amirul Mu'mineen described in Nahjul Balagha. Different types of souls were collected, they were put together, they were made mud, and that mud was made, turned into clay, and that clay was, well, the mud was fashioned into the surah of Adam, and it became dry, and it was a type of clay, very dry type of clay, which if you just hit it with your finger, you could hear a voice from it. That's why it's called salsal. And then, of course, Adam was created out of that, and then there was the production. The third theory, which is again supported by some other rawayah, is that no, even before Adam there were human beings, and they were human beings. They were not bashar, so to speak. They were insan. And They lived before Adam, they had their own prophets, they had their own destiny, but they were finished. And they are now in their hell and in their paradise. And then again another generation was created, which is our generation. And we had our own father Adam alayhi salam, and now we are waiting for our destiny, and what comes after us is probably another universe, another human being, another type of series of human beings. What went before that Adam who was existing before us, and that generation of human beings, was another generation of human beings. This is another theory. What other theory can we have? None of these theories could be really rejected by the Quran. I mean, you can take all on board. And we shouldn't be very preventive of different ideas coming in. However, we have to be careful that any idea which we want to put in should be supported by some evidence, of course. I don't want to bring here the theory of evolution, because I really do not believe in evolution. But if there is such a thing as evolution, it is possible that there were human beings created out of that evolution before Adam. They were Bashar, of course, animals in the form of human beings. As some human beings, not even in our type of generation and species, are described by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam as being animals. They are like human beings, but they are animals. فَالسُّورَةُ الْإِنسَانِ وَالْقَلْبُ قَلْبُ الْحَيْوَانِ. Their surah, their appearance is like human beings, but their heart is like animals. They do not know anything about God. They cannot think rationally. Of course, they can think rationally in some parts and some areas which concern their pleasures, but they cannot think rationally in some other areas at all. They cannot think about God, they cannot think about the final destination of human being. Where have they come from? Why they are living? Where are they going? Some people do not think at all on these issues, just on their immediate pleasures. And this is what makes them like animals, of course. And this is why Amir al-Mu'mineen says, فَالسُّورَةُ سُورَةُ الْإِنسَانِ. The surah is like insan. وَالْقَلْبُ قَلْبُ الْحَيْوَانِ. The heart is heart of an animal, not of a human being. However, what is most supported by the verses of the Quran, I think, is that probably Adam was not the first Bashar. Because when Allah says, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ, I'm creating a Bashar out of clay, this concept of Bashar was known. Not human being, but Bashar. And maybe this is why the angels were surprised that this Bashar is going to be the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to be the vicegerent. How? This Bashar doing mischief, shedding blood, they don't understand anything. They do not glorify you. You see, they hadn't seen any glorification of Allah, any praise of Allah from this Bashar. So they say, وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are glorifying and praising you. How come a Bashar? But of course, Allah said, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Certainly, this Bashar is not like other Bashar. He's. Now, you might say this is not a type of very traditional view. That's right. The traditional view is that Adam was the first human being, the only human being, no Bashar before him. That is not rejected totally as well. That's another view. The truth of the matter, we really cannot know for sure. But these are probabilities that we can think about. And what is important is that Adam as a specific person did not come out of any evolution. Did not come. Of course, there was an evolution in him, but that evolution was in that dust from which he was created, into mud, into evolving into that type of clay. And then, of course, that clay was made in the surah of a human being. Now, he says, أَجْمَدَهَا حَتَّى اسْتَمْسَكَ. He somehow solidified it in a way that it became like the clay by which they they make different type of clay actually. That the mud by which they make different type of clay. It was whole, it held together. وَأَسْلَدَهَا. Then after it held together these different type of dust, أَسْلَدَهَا حَتَّى سَلْسَلَ. And he dried and dried and dried until it became like salsa. لَوَقْتًا مَعْدُودٌ وَأَمَدٍ مَعْلُومٌ. Of course, this took some time. It wasn't immediately. Until a number of days and a known appointed time. When the time came that this body was prepared, was ready for the blowing of the Ruh into it. ثُمَّ نَفَخَ فِيهَا مَنْ رُوحِهِ. Then he blew from his spirit into it. فَمَثُلَتْ إِنسَانًا. Then it became an insan. You see, it was not insan before that. It was like a bashar, of course. Until that Ruh from Allah came into it. Then it turned into insan. ثُمَّ نَفَخَ فِيهَا مِنْ رُوحِهِ فَمَثُلَتْ إِنسَانًا. It became like an insan. ذَا أَذْهَانٍ يُجِيلُهَا. Now, these are the qualities of that Ruh. Look, it's very, very interesting. What that Ruh is to human being. It became an insan with minds by which he could move his thoughts. You see, this is something which the Ruh is to you. You can take different concepts and move around it. Choose and pick different concepts, put them together, produce new concepts, produce new results, ideas. This is the quality of that Ruh which gives all these to you. إِنسَانًا ذَا أَذْهَانًا يُجِيبُهَا وَفَكْرًا يَتَصَرَّفُ فِيهَا. And meditation which he can implement to use for his own end. وَجَوَارَحَ يَخْتَدِمُهَا. Then all these limbs and parts of the body that Allah had given to him, that Ruh can now use them. You see, it's the Ruh inside us which is using everything. It's very amazing. I mean, you decide, what is it in you that decides? It's that Ruh inside you. You decide to move your hand, very easily you could move it. I mean, if this hand was made of iron or something very, very precious, out of gold or whatever, a very, very high quality metal, it couldn't work as flesh and blood and bone, isn't it? And this skin which is somehow covering all the veins, the blood, the muscles, everything, it's amazing how Allah has created this and how this has all come together. So that your Ruh could employ all these things. Your eyes very easily could be employed by your Ruh. You want to look to the other side, very easily you could do that. Whatever you want to do, your Ruh wants to do, can do with the help of this body, which is completely, completely under his sovereignty, isn't it? Sometimes the mystics say, the example of Allah and the universe is like the example of your own soul and your body. How your body is employed, managed by your soul. All these billions and billions of cells in your body is actually managed by your soul. And the very plain evidence of that is that when your soul leaves the body, all the cells die. They do not move anymore. How all these cells are managed by your soul. Now you yourself don't know about it, but they are managed. They're limited type of control management by you. But the whole management is done completely by your soul. So the way the soul is controlling the body, of course, sometimes without your conscious understanding, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manages the whole universe with complete consciousness. And nothing would divert his attention from any other thing. Especially sometimes when the mystics want to give an idea about human soul and how we are told that our soul is created, its passions, after the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It works like Him. And they say, look into your body and your soul. About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have, Ya man la yashghaluhu sam'un an sam'. Oh, the one whom the hearing from someone would not divert him from hearing someone else. He can hear all voices at one time, without being confused. Now they say, how your soul is managing your body without being confused. Now my own soul, my own ruh, you see, it is managing my tongue very skillfully. I mean, I cannot describe, you cannot describe how skillfully it's managing my tongue and my eyes without being diverted from one to the other. My hands, and more important, my mind is being managed and manipulated by my soul while it is managing other things. And at the same time, it's managing all the cells in my body. It's managing my digestive system. It's managed, everything is managed without him being diverted from one thing to the other. This is why Allah calls this my ruh. It is something which I have created after my own attributes. It has something like that. So, this ruh, of course, when he says nafakha fiha min ruhihi, it doesn't mean that Allah has a spirit or a ruh. But this ruh is so dignified, is so sublime, that Allah says, this is my ruh, which I have created to give to anyone whom I like, whom I choose. And with that ruh, if you leave that ruh to somehow become unified with your nafs and you identify with that ruh, it will take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And then you become so powerful, as Allah is so powerful. So, and it was because of this ruh that Adam could know things, could know the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this ruh that we can gain knowledge, because of this ruh that we can know God. Everything is due to that ruh which is blown into Adam, and well, through him it has come to us. So, ثُمَّ نَفَخَ فِيهَا مِنْ رُوحِهِ فَمَثُلَتْ إِنْسَانًا ذَا أَذْهَانٍ يُجِيلُهَا وَفِكْرٍ يَتَصَرَّفُ وَجَوَارَهَا يَخْتَدِمُهَا عَنْ limbs which is employed by him, وَأَدَوَاتٍ يُقَلِّبُهَا, and means and tools that this ruh would turn from one side to the other. وَمَعْرِفَةً يَفْرُقُ بِهَا بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. And more important, a ma'rifah, a knowledge, by which you could distinguish between haq and batil, right and wrong. Now, if anyone wants to describe this quality, this faculty in human being, what is it? I don't think it's possible. It's so complicated. How do we judge? What is haq? What is batil? How could we distinguish between haq and batil? What is it inside us that judges what is haq and what is batil? There should be a correspondence between our soul and knowing that haq and batil, and the haq, of course, so that we could say what is haq, what is batil, and what is hikmah, what is called hikmah. So he gave this also. وَالْعَذْوَاقِ, and then by which at the same time it could differentiate between haq and batil, and differentiate between different tastes, different smells, different colors, different types, and all these things. This is what is called in human being fu'ad. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Fu'ad is that part of the soul which understands, distinguishes between things. And he gave you eyes and ears so that you take what is outside and give it as an input to your fu'ad, and then it will discern, it will describe for you what you have got by your by your different tools. So he puts for you eyes and ears, and that's for art, which takes all these and understands it, distinguishes, differentiates. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Of course, very little you give thanks to Allah. Well, I don't know. Those people who give little thanks, they are lucky. Because we don't give thanks at all. We really are completely ignorant of what Allah has given us. And how freely has put all these at our disposal. And how he wants actually to take us into account later on. This is going to be terrible. He said, it is reported that when Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam did sajda for shukr, when he wanted to mention something in sajda for shukr, you know sajda for shukr is very mustahab after every salat. After every salat you go to sajda and just thank God. First of all for creating you, then for giving you all your providence, then for showing you how you could go to him, how could you connect with him, and then of course that now this salat was a means of your connection with him. You thank him that he succeeds, he gave you success, he gave you the favor of having this connection in this salat. Now there are different adhkar to be mentioned in sajda to shukr. Now one that particularly reported from Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam was that he was saying that, oh God, you give me eyes, and with these eyes, I did all sorts of things which could be regarded as your disobedience. You gave me ears, and with that ear, I heard all sorts of things which were not pleasant in your eyes. You gave me hands, and the same thing, you gave me hands, you gave me mind, you gave me feet, and with all these, I disobeyed you. فَمَا كَانَ هَذَا جَزَاءِ لَكَ. This is not a good compensation or a good response that I'm giving to you. And this is, of course, the situation of a person who's aware of his situation. For us, we are ignorant. And lucky are the ignorant ones, isn't it? They are not worried very much about what's happening, what's going on, what Allah has given them, how He is going to take them into account. Because if you want to think about all these things, it will become very difficult, isn't it? مَأْجُونًا بِطِينَةِ الْأَلْوَاحِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ وَالْأَشْبَاحِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ وَالْأَضْدَادِ الْمُتَعَادِيَةِ. If you think about this human being, it is a mixture. It's ma'jun, an amalgamation of different colors, different powers, different types of elements, and contradictory types of things brought all together in one body. If we think about our body, I mean, the way the blood is flowing in our body, and then the way other different types of cells are there. There are many different things that you can think how they have, it's amazing how they have all come together in one body. And wal akhlaqil mutabayin. Thank you very much. And mixtures which are very different from each other, which are opposing each other. You have hot and cold, both of them you need and both of them you have in your body. وَالْبَلَّةِ وَالْجُمُودِ, humidity and dryness. Of course, usually the old philosophers, they said that there are four very important elements which should be balanced in the body. If some of them is in excess, then one would go sick, and that is the humidity, the dryness, the warmth and the cold. And all these, of course, well, according to the new medical terminology, these terms are not used very much, but they are still there. They are some sort of part of our creation, our disposition. Now, after he created all, after human, after Adam was created like this, وَاسْتَعَذَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَدِيَأَتَهُ لَدَيْهِمْ. Then Allah asked the angels, okay, I had made a pledge with you, now this is the time, you have to fulfill the pledge. What was that pledge? Why this pledge was made with the angels, and how they have to fulfill it, inshallah we'll leave it for next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala
Sheikh, you gave a brief definition of distinction between Bashar and Insan. Why does Allah then describe Prophet as a Bashar in the Quran and not as an Insan?
Well, because we are Bashar still. I mean, we have that animal part of us, that animal side of us. And yes, of course, human Prophet, peace be on him, has that animal side, the body, which is, of course, the animal side of every human being. So, in fact, by mentioning that the Prophet is a Bashar, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ means, yes, I'm created the same way you are created. I have this animal part as you have that animal part. Because I have blood, I have flesh, I have bone that every animal would have. And the system of the body that every animal has. So, and to become insan out of Bashar. We are Bashar, of course, but we have that insan side in us. And to move towards that insan side, that divine side of human being, rather than this Bashar animal side, is the whole mission of the Prophet. The question is that if there is a difference between Bashar and Insan, and then Bashar is that animal part, and there might have been some Bashar before Adam alayhi salam, is it possible that they have evolved from the ape type of species into human or Bashar type? Well, it is possible, but I don't know. I really cannot somehow digest the theory of evolution, and whatever you say in this field, I'm very cautious about it. There might have been Bashar before that. They might have been quite like apes. I don't know, but how, whether they had evolved out of each other or they were created separately, this is something that, well, our knowledge in future may tell us.
Yes. So what I'm thinking about is they have found fossils, they have found some evidence. Would that be related to the previous creation? I.e. God created human beings as human beings, but because there was something there before, this is related to those fossils that they are claiming to be human.
I'm very cautious about this fossil business, so please do not. Very dodgy. This fossil business is very dodgy, actually. Yeah, the comment is that Quran clearly states that the angels say that are you placing someone as your vicegerent on the earth which is going to shed blood and do mischief? And this is a message telling us that certainly before Adam were human beings living on, well, Bashar, living on the earth. Not really, it's from Bashara, from the skin. And as I said, they say human being is called Bashar because it's an animal which doesn't have fur. You can see the skin without anything covering it. However, as I said, what the exegetes who do not believe that there were anyone living before Adam would say in response is that since they saw the angels, since the angels knew that this human being created out of course, material elements would have need, would have pleasures that has to fulfill, and this could not be attained but through competition, and this would bring bloodshed. And therefore they ask, well, the finally this is going to lead to bloodshed and mischief, and how we are going to make this as a vice in Jerusalem. Of course, I really, really cannot agree with this idea, with this type of explanation. The better explanation for this is that angels sometimes can see through the time, as some human beings can see through the time. And they could see that, yes, there are people coming out of this Adam by reproduction, the children of this Adam, they are going to kill each other, they are going to shed blood. And then they were amazed, they were surprised at how this is going to be a vicegerent. Maybe. But as I said, maybe the better explanation would be yes, before Adam they were Bashar. And probably their species is now extinguished or dead. Or maybe some human beings are still from the descendants of those type of Bashar. Yes. Certainly not directly. The question is there any ayah indicating directly that the angels could see through the future of Adam? Certainly not, but in many other different, I mean directly we don't have it, but in many other different instances we have angels knowing things that are going to happen in future. They are given missions actually, and if some human being by transcending to Malakut could see through things in future, the angels certainly who are living in Malakut could see through vision. But it doesn't mean that they know everything, but they can have some knowledge of future certainly. Yes.
What will happen to the hard soul after our death? What the soul will do?
What happens to our soul after death? Which is of course partaking from that ruh. Well, our souls, we have different levels of soul. And the lowest level is the soul which is completely free of that ruh. It's just animal soul. Now, our soul would either become completely animal soul, we just reject that ruh completely and then we go quite distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we unify our soul with that ruh which Allah has blown in us. And that ruh will take us to paradise beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ruh is something which is specifically beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we identify ourselves with that ruh which is blown into all of us, our soul, we unify our soul with that, the more we go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we reject that soul and become animal, then our animal soul certainly will go to Jahannam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we say then, all human beings, of course, is we share Bashar. Are all human beings insan, or is there a qualification that you have? If you reach a level of baseness, you can no longer be called insan.
Yes, all human beings are Bashar, but all, or are in, all insan are Bashar, but all, are all Bashar insan? The question is this. Is it possible that some of us are only Bashar and not insan at all? Yes, of course, most of us are Bashar, not insan. Yeah. A kafir is completely a Bashar, not insan. Because insan is someone partakes from that ruh. And that ruh, if it comes with iman, with faith. It's that ruh which will bring that faith and iman to us.
So when the Quran says, yeah, you and that, can we take
another
talking
after all? Now, you shouldn't take this very literally now everywhere. Of course, in the Quran, Bashar is addressed as insan, because all of us have that potential to become insan. And, well, it's a type of honor that Allah calls all of us as insan, certainly. And Ya Ayyuhan Nas, or Malikan Nas, Ilahan Nas. Now, of course, then, as I said, we have two aspects. We have the animal aspects, and we have the divine aspect, the aspect which is related to that ruh. and you could be called by both of these. So, إن خر الدواب عند الله الصم البكم الذين لا يعقلون. The worst animals. Dawab are, now Dawba is any type of creature that can move. So all animals are Dawab, okay? So إن خر الدواب, the worst of all animals with Allah are those human beings that cannot hear and cannot see and cannot think. So the thought in the way that I mentioned. And of course, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلْ, they are just like cattle. And even they are more somehow not misguided. أَذَلْ means that they cannot understand even like the cattle. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. So yes, human beings could be like animals, completely like animals. Of course, they have poetry, they have philosophy, and all these things. Yeah, it's a type of very elegant animal, so to speak. A type of very exotic animal, so to speak. Yes. Yeah, there's a question there. If you want to go first, yes, yes. Okay, you first.
I had a very similar question, but following on the same line of thought. So what I understand is that we are all given the ruh of Bashar initially, and then we go through the changes and become insan. So the first Adam was also given the ruh of Bashar, and then he was given the knowledge to become the insan.
No. Adam, of course, was insan right from the beginning. Do not.
That's what I wanted to.
Do not confuse me, please.
Okay. That's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
That's why I got the point.
No, all of us have from that ruh inside us, and that's why we say كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. The فطرة is that ruh given to us. Okay. فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا. Now, come and stand in the direction of this completely direct route toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is فَتْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَتَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is how He has created it. We are born insan, and then we turn into Bashar, so to speak, okay? We, depending which aspect of ourselves we choose or we like, whether the animal aspect or divine aspect, we would become more insan or more animal. And of course, usually we are a mixture of both. And that's why most human beings that some people see, they see in the form of animals. Because they are a mixture of animal and human beings. Yes?
Okay, insan has been described in 3 forms in the Quran. Mu'min, Kafir, and Munafiq. So the Mu'min is not only 4, I guess, and the Kafir is even less.
The description of the insan. So insan comes from the creation each insan, and then it seems to be categorized, or was it later on as an education of the nafs position? Well, certainly the ruh which is blown into us is to somehow train our soul. As I said, we have to unify our soul. Our soul is something different. It is what gives us personality and identification. Now, if we identify with the ruh, our soul will become godly, will become divine. If we identify with worldly pleasures, then our soul will become like the soul of an animal. Now, of course, munafiqa is a very clever animal. He's an animal which is worse than ordinary animals, of course. A very shrewd one, very elusive one, something which is very dangerous. That's why many ayat are there for munafiqun. Okay? Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma ala Muhammad wa ala.